Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 311, part 1, Hungers. Today is Friday, September 27th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled Hungers. Hungers. Well, now, hunger is a voice from the void, and its nature is very demanding. You're hungry, you're very demanding. Your hunger demands feeding. And its nature is demanding her rights. I want to eat now. Very demanding. When you go on these runs down there, you see people that get excited and they probably say things they wouldn't normally say. But that nature of hunger is there, and that thought of not getting enough is there. And so that reaction is there. It's a very strong force. It is an instinct fighting to be recognized. Now, waiting on tables downstairs, people raise their hand. Over here, over here, over here, over here, over here. And so when I wait on tables there, I just have them bring the trays to me, and then I just make an S shape all the way down the line. And in about 12 minutes, that whole place can be served. One waiter and a couple of people passing them to me. But I recognize that people get excited. You walk by them and, hey, how about me? Clamoring to be satisfied. Well, I hear someone on the radio saying, well, just open up your mouth and feed your face. But listen, there are four great hungers in life. Your body hunger, mind hunger, when you want to learn, heart hunger, and soul hunger. We're really hungry people. Our whole makeup is hungry. And all are very, very real, don't you know? Each has its own demands. And all need recognition, every one of them. Looking to be satisfied. Isn't that right? A person wants to be recognized all the time, and so their mind is always on that, being recognized. There's hunger after that. They'll do anything so somebody will recognize them. Young people today. And young people really in every age. And I remember in the early 50s when they had the ducktail. And you just took your hair, and actually it was down to about here. And you put some slickum on it, you know. And you combed it, and you combed it this way and that way, and you pompadoured it. Then you put the zit down the back, and it was called a ducktail. Well, what were we doing then? Well, we were looking for recognition. We wanted to be recognized. That's a hunger, isn't it? Hey, how about me? Did you notice me? We have that desire to be noticed, and there's nothing wrong with it at all. But each has its own demands, and they're very, very real. All need recognition. Hey, over here, look, I have a need. Now, you don't use your mouth with some of these, but you use body language. Maybe you'll walk real loud into a room or something so somebody will notice you're there. Little kids do that, don't they? I know I used to run and jump and whistle and carry on. I wanted to be noticed. Little children do that, don't they? They want to be noticed. And so sometimes they misbehave. There's a song like that, I think, isn't there, Sue? Ain't Misbehaving Saved My Love for You? And they want to be noticed. Sometimes they even get F in school to be noticed. Or an A to be noticed. Or they complain to be noticed. Or they look sad to be noticed. Or they have a pain to be noticed. Or they are a pain to be noticed. But it's a hunger. Stop neglecting me. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Some people have to have their ego fed all of the time. And sometimes they have a very large ego appetite. It has to be fed over and over and over and over again. You hearing this, kids? And so I'll ask you the question. There's more hungers in your belly, right, kids? Your mind hunger? You go to school, you want to learn something, right? And your heart hunger? And your soul hunger? You want to be noticed. And sometimes you want to be noticed and you lay your lip out there. You let it all hang out. Your lip just flops out of your face. And you cry and you're cranky. Well, why are you doing that? You want to be noticed. And you're real... Why you do that? You want to be noticed. Grown-ups do that too. But they're better actors. You guys are more honest, see? When we do it, we have our little ways, our little shoutings, and our little, oh, I'm just fed up, and so on like that. And we have the lip hanging out and everything like that. But you see, you have other hangers. You want to be hungers. You want to be noticed. And sometimes we never do grow up, and we're just very childish. You ever been around somebody that's real childish like that? And they're 50 years old or 100 years old or whatever, and they want to be noticed. Well, old people like to be noticed too, don't they? Huh? So what do? Oh, they got a pain here, or they got a pain there. They're looking for a recognition. Hey, what am I, chopped liver? My mother wasn't noticed. She'd say, hey, what am I sitting here, chopped liver or what? Don't leave me out of the conversation. And so we have a hunger to be recognized. You raise your hand in school. Well, you want somebody to recognize it because you got the answer. Huh? And you wave your hand. I used to wave my hand, and I didn't have the answer. And I'd be waving my hand, and I'd be thinking, now, what is the answer? What is the answer? You learn to be pretty quick when you do things like that. We all have those basic hungers, and they're real. But anyway, body hunger is the leader and has the right of way over all the other hungers. When you're hungry, that takes precedent over everything. Doesn't it? You kids, when you're hungry, what do you want? You want something to what? Eat. And you want it now. And so you forget about all your other hungers. And some people, when they're depressed, they eat more. And the other hunger takes on a bigger appetite. That'll make them happy. They'll just keep right on munching. Just keep shoveling it in. And so body hunger is a leader and has a right of way over all the other hungers, all the other needs. Deuteronomy 8 and 3 says, and he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, that you might understand that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. He spoke it. And so God has given us also mind hunger, Isaiah 26 and 3. The steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. In Matthew then 23 and 37, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. There's one, the heart. And all of your soul. And with all of your mind. In Psalm 107, 8 and 9. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And for his wonders to the sons of men, for he has satisfied the thirsty what? Soul. And the hungry soul. Are you hearing this? He has filled what is good. Okay, Proverbs 27:7. The full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When you're hungry, you grab at straws in your soul when you want to have a soul satisfying. Proverbs 6 and 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Ezekiel 13 and 18. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will you save the souls alive that come unto you? But then again, the body hunger has the right of way over all these needs. And it requires no credentials, no argument, no advocate. You can do that all on your own. You don't need a lawyer to speak for you. I am hungry. It holds first mortgage on the sympathy and the aid of humanity, but then the hunger for food, while being the most irrepressible, the most immediately compelling, has no monopoly over the hungers of life. And in our world today, listen to it, we have more people hungering for love than bread. In this country, especially. And then again, what good is it to give a person a loaf of bread and there's no love? It's like sending a care package. And they can't read the printing or anything, and they open it up, there's no love with it. It's like an agency that hands out food, but there's no smiles, there's no conversation with it. There's no love involved, there's no dedication involved. There is more heart hunger, yeah, than body hunger. More unsatisfied yearning for sympathy. Did you ever yearn for somebody to sympathize with you? More unsatisfied yearning for affection, for companionship, for kindness, for recognition. And appreciation than for food. More. More of a need. Now these hungers aren't something some great psychologist just discovered. They have been around since the Garden of Eden. Adam's body hunger was recognized. And great stores of growing food insured him against starvation. I mean, he was in the garden. He never had to worry about food ever, ever, ever again. And then again, the heart hunger was appeased by a wife. God gave Adam a woman. Then the mind hunger of the first married couple was appealed to by you know who. Under the pretense that they should know the difference between good and evil. And their minds started to work. Sometimes our mind starts to work and it works kind of screwy. It can be gotten to. Words. Oh, hey. Words are powerful. Do you ever think for a moment what you say doesn't hold power? It can kill or it can cure. There now was a soul hunger still to be met. They had the promise that they would be as gods. Now they got their soul into it. Now, there was no evil in these four hungers, but merely that the two of these were appealed to by lying and by treachery. I think it can be best described as life as a large department store in the world, the largest. And then again, the date of its first organization, no one knows. The earliest customers on record were Adam and Eve. And they started paying the price. There's a price to be paid. Paying the price, let's call it system. Oh, aren't we great at systems? We go through this system and that system and this system and that system. Paying the price system by a very ill-advised purchase of a new variety of apple. And so their hunger sent them on a shopping spree. You ever been on a shopping spree when you're hungry? Huh? Do you ever go out to the fair and you're hungry? You got to have it all, man. You got to have the corn on the cob and the French fries and the chicken Soprano Pups, the foot-long hot dog. You got to have the Polish sausage and a gallon of pop. Some of Rudy Boswich's milk. Get all the freebies you can get, of course. And some popcorn. You got to have it all. And so their hunger sent them on a shopping spree. You know what the price was? All of their property. That cost them all their property. Eviction. Kicked out. Dishonor. Immigration. The descent, let's say, from the proud dignity of landowners to the very humble position of originators of hard labor. And so then, the Bible says humanity has inherited their purchase and is still charged with their account. The debt remaining unpaid. Now the stock shelves of the store of life consist in the world that appealed to four great hungers of man. The body, let's say again, the mind, the heart, and the soul. And then to their perversions into a morbid acquired appetites. Think about it. The items then for sale are good, bad, shop-worn, and indifferent. They are tangible, and then again, they are intangible. And at this great, crowded, shuffling, arguing store of life, isn't there a lot of arguing? Did you watch the stock market when it was going down? Wasn't there a lot of arguing and bickering and yelling and screaming in the snake pit? And Wall Street was a wailing wall. But anyway, at this great, crowded, arguing store of life, we all must be customers. Every one of us. Some are good shoppers. Some are bad shoppers. Some are careless shoppers. Do you ever see someone when they shop in the store? Just so you kind of get the drift of what I'm saying. Do you ever have your kid in the cart and the kid is driving, riding along with you? And what do they reach for when you go buy the cookies? Cookies! Oreos! And if they were going to shop, they would shop for all the goodies. Ice cream. Right? That's good stuff, isn't it? Hey, it's healthy stuff, right? And cookies and pies and licorice and Hershey bars and Snickers and pop. And cereals shot out of guns with a prize in there of some kind. $4 for 16 ounces of that garbage. That's a sin right there. Huh? Instead of shooting down whiskey bottles, sometimes you got to go in there and shoot up them cereal boxes. Get them kids hooked on that stuff. Do you ever go buy a box of that stuff? $1.98. Big box, and then you shake it down. It's about this full, you know. Huh? Yeah, that's highway robbery. Okay? But you kids want to do that, and a lot of us shoppers are the same way. When we go to shop sometimes, the parents aren't the best shoppers, are they? What do they get? Liver and onions? Sauerkraut? I'm talking about life stores now. And some shoppers are good shoppers, some shoppers are bad shoppers, some are careless shoppers. Not only for food. This world is one big warehouse of tangibles and intangibles. And so we are all our shoppers. And all must pay the price of what they buy. Some shop at random and overbuy what they like and not what's good for them. Well, that's like the prodigal son. He spent all of his head on riotous living. Well, that's what he bought. He bought riotous living, and he bought and bought and bought and bought and bought, didn't he? A lot of times we only buy what we can understand. Maybe you're listening on the radio and you're a fellowship person. All you want to buy is fellowship, and you want to get in one great big Christian group and just fellowship. Sort of like the Love Boat. That's the most unreal program that I think there ever was. The Love Boat. And they want to get in one great big, and that's what they buy. I buy that. I really, you know what I really like about this so-and-so church? We have all kinds of fellowship. Or do you know what I like about so-and-so church? The messages are so ear-tickling. They tickle my fancy. I buy that. But dedication and discipline and obedience are out. Any kind of work. Work? Are you kidding? Hey, come on now. Come on. Vulgar. And so the devil fools them with coupons, and the devil fools them with advertisement, and the devil fools them with claims, his claims. Oh, you get into this certain thing over here, you're going to really be happy. Come on over there. Just everybody's fellowshipping and just having a wonderful time. Wouldn't you like to do that? Sure. No, dear, wouldn't you like to do that, dear housewife? Just go off to praise meetings every night and leave your house a scabby, scungy mess? And maybe she'll buy that. See, there's only certain things we buy. And being in missions, by the way, folks, there's a lot of people that would never buy missions. They won't buy it. They read the label and they say, oh, castor oil. Gag me. They can't buy it. Now, if Satan polishes up the apple good enough, he's polishing the apple up and sets it up so that it gets the light just right. Doesn't that look good? It catches our eye. It catches our fancy. Man, I'd sure like to have a bite out of that apple. Looks so good. The drugs look so good. And so you buy the drugs. It doesn't do it, kids. People. Oh, how about sex? I won't cut it. How about booze? Wouldn't you just like to go on down and, you know, just walk in and have fellowship and sit down in this place? Of course, it smells like a toilet bowl. The whole place does. I'll never forget, after I had become unhooked from booze, walking by a place and that stench come out there. And I thought, man, that whole place smells like a toilet bowl. I sat in there for years. I bought that. I'll buy that, I said to Satan, and he held it up, and he said, do you buy it? Hey, I buy that. That looks like fun. Well, someone says on the radio, well, you know, there is no cost. Oh, the devil, you say. Yes, the devil, I say. See, you see, what the devil offers, if you receive it, it means you buy it. Watch out what you receive. And what you buy is what you pay for. There's a payday coming. And there's a payday coming right in Christianity. We don't minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get off into all of this other flim-flam jolly jam, and you get off into all this kind of thing. It has nothing to do with the gospel. And now is payday. And so we got a lot of shipwrecked faith over here, jammed up, bleached old ships, jammed up, as they bought it. Buy this great, now look at these jewels in the Word of God, prosperity for you. God doesn't want you to be poor, and that then, okay, now they get their mind totally surrounded with the thought of self. God does not want, now it doesn't have anything to do with helping people or showing kindness or showing love or having joy or any of the fruit of the Spirit. They're not in that, see? It's that great big old apple. The big apple. Are you hearing this? If you receive it, it means you buy it. And I've watched meetings where people just really, really receive. Woo! And they're just receiving, see, because that's what they want to buy. Woo! Oh, woo! And they just get so excited. No. Wow! Praise God! And they buy it. But is that what the Bible really says? No, it says going out to highways and byways and minister unto all creation. What? Prosperity? Hyper faith? No. No. Go to the highways and the byways and get to work. While there's still time to get to work, while there's still light. And oh, hey, it's getting darker all the time. And I'm not trying to be a defeatist here, but let's just face it. The book of Revelations is coming to pass. Oh, golly, can't you hang out? Just, no, Lord, I pray that you hold it back. I want 2 more years to pile up some riches. But there's a lot of people praying like that. A lot of Christians. A lot of people and a lot of Christians in the people. Well, doesn't the world say when they don't like something? I don't buy that. And if they do like it, they say, I'll buy that. Betcha. But anyway, while we live, we must buy continuously, all the time, and pay for what we buy. And then it's yours. You're stuck with it. You know, nature runs long credits, but she never forgets. Never forgets. What you buy, you always pay for. You buy gossip, you pay for gossip. And you pay dearly for it. Whew. And I think there are strange rules and odd methods in this store of life. Seem to be. And as we learn them and buy more wisely, this is called profiting by experience. How many have profited by experiences? That means you gain by your experiences. Now let's say you were something you kids can understand here. You lived your life, okay? You're at the ripe old age here of 8 and 9, 11, something like that. And you were riding on a bicycle and you had your bare feet and your toe got in the spoke. Did you learn from that? Yeah, next time you keep your feet way out like that. And you tell somebody else, keep your feet away from the spokes. Boy, oh boy. And there they are, up the road. Oh, I told ya. You told her, but she wouldn't listen. And so she Mm-hmm. She got her toe in the spoke, right? It's funny, too, isn't it? Of course. Wasn't your toe. I told you so! Profiting by experience. Shouldn't we profit by experiences? Is it some kind of a dirty word to have an experience? Now, if you're going to experience Jesus, that is an experience. I'm not talking about experiences of the type of Jesus that's preached in a lot of places. But if you want to experience Jesus, then you have to live that same kind of life. I don't know if I want to experience Jesus. I don't know. Well, anyway, I venture to say that people who just live together, let's say, and there's a lot of that, people just, oh, let's live together. I still can't get used to that, okay? This is my roommate, and I turn around, I'm looking for another man, and there's a woman standing there. Well, I might as well say, this is my dog. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm sorry, but that's exactly how it sounds like. This is my dog. And she isn't good, I'll send her to the dog pound. Get a new dog. That's what they call them. A real dog. Come on. Come on, guys listening to the radio out there. Come on. Tell it like it is. And I lived together. Well, why did you... Didn't you have Betty Lou as a... Now, I hope there's nobody in here by the name of Betty Lou. Ebba Lou. Let's say Ebba Lou. Well, where's your roommate, Ebba Lou? Oh, that dog. No, I let that dog go. I chained her to a telephone pole and drove away as fast as I could. Little heavy? It's truth. Yeah. Anyway, I venture to say that people who just lived together and bought that wouldn't buy it again. Well, why did they do that? They have a heart hunger. They're lonesome. They want companionship, fellowship. So, hey, I know, let's live together. Are you listening on the radio and you've been through one of those traumatic experiences? Would you buy that again? No, don't become bitter over it, but don't buy it again. Don't buy it. Because it'll cost you self-respect, self-reliance, self-control, good character, and loss of dignity, and you'll be called not a living doll, but a living dog. Woo! What a dog! Or maybe you bought alcohol as a way of life. You wouldn't pay that price again, would you? Broken home and jail and skid row and shame and guilt. But you know something? The price is never marked in plain figures. Well, how much is this? Well, how much is it worth to you? See, it's very vague. It doesn't have a price on there. Doesn't tell you and doesn't have a price on there. It's like drinking. Then you'll see someone, well, I seen a guy on TV the other day, and he said, to what do you attribute your long, healthy, prosperous life? Well, I smoked 9 cigars before I got out of bed every morning, chewed tobacco, drank rye whiskey till my nose blossomed. Well, see, he lived. He lived to be 100 years old. But at what price? One guy stayed alive and 1,000 died. So it never really gives you the price of what you're buying. It's very vague. It's like getting involved. The AIDS program thing. Isn't that something now? You go up to take exercise, and now they bind you up like a mummy so that you won't get somebody else's sweat on your body. Huh? Is there a song, Breathe On Me? I think, I don't know if there is or not. Well, maybe it's Trust In Me. Huh? Yeah, well, anyway. You're afraid to talk to anybody. What is the price? It never really tells you. Well, here's a couple guys. They live happily ever after. They never had any problems. So it never really tells the price. Down the line, down the line, down the line. Now they're finding out that it can go on as you can carry this thing for 9 years before it hits you. 9 years. No, no two people ever pay the same price identically for similar goods. It's always a little more, a little less in between. No two get the same amount of satisfaction or ruin or use or wear from them. No way. They're all different. No goods are guaranteed. You buy at your own risk. It's like buying a used car. Now they have to pin on the window. You buy this car at your own risk. You smoke these cigarettes at your own risk. The Surgeon General has determined they give you cancer, liver problems, they affect unborn babies, and they're poisonous to you, and they're going to kill you. People don't believe. Well, I don't know. Look at him. He looks all right. Look at him. I mean, this guy is a picture. Now, I seen a poster. The guy was, you know, playing. Huh? Well, there's a basketball player. And there's a tennis player, and there's a football player. And, and so it's an apple that's put up there, and it looks all right. Well, what is the price? Sometimes we pay the price, and the goods selected may not be sent to us. You ever order something in the mail, in the catalog, and it never was sent to you? Ooh. Huh? Some kind of hair potion supposed to make your hair grow all over, just grow right out of the top of your head. And it never got sent to you. Well, you know, years after, we may realize that the finest value we received, ever received, from the very stores of life was when that purchase, when that thing that seemed the desire of our very soul was not delivered. The thing we most wanted didn't make it. It didn't come. Oh, God. I just got to have Emma Lou. I just got to have Freddy. Huh? Oh, there's heartaches. Heartaches. Heartaches, that's all I ever get is heartaches. I'm not going to ask you if you know that song. Of course you do not. But you find out down life's highway that the thing you didn't receive was the best, oh wow, the best buy that ever happened to you. You didn't get it. After all this loving I've given to you, and all this time, and all this energy, and the fur coats, and the car, and it didn't come off. It was the cheapest buy you ever had, if it didn't come off. You realize that down life's highway. Maybe it is a man or a woman. Maybe it's a house or a job. If I only had a car, if I only had a house. Maybe it's drugs. See, what we desire is not always a good bargain.
That was episode 311, part 1, Hungers. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
letter to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.